We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Folks around the league have been studying up on Matt Nagy and feeling like, you know what? I know a lot of folks think he's really clever. We think we got this dude figured out. It's going to be up to Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich. It was, you know, already up to them over the offseason, but now they got a bye week to get this thing figured out as far as some self-scout and in recognizing spots where the Bears formationally and with personnel try to show one thing and the defense isn't reacting to it in the way that it would seem they should. And it seems to be because a couple of folks have a bead on what the Bears are trying to do offensively, and that is up to Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich to get that part right before anything else happens. Do they have some personnel decisions to make on the offensive line? That may come up too, but getting the scheme figured out and trying to outsmart folks again, that needs to happen.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer, the first ever 8-passenger Hyundai Palisade. We've got Matt Miller talking football at 10, the midday midway at 10:40, and then Mark Schanowski, always strong and opinionated on the Bulls and the NBA. There's a lot going on with both, and he's going to join us at 11. You also want to stay closely tuned to this radio program for your two chances at winning $1,000 cash with a lucky text keyword. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR The Score. Email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. Texting 67011. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
What just happened to Clayton Kershaw?
I don't know. It's
oh my God.
Yeah, amazing.
I would say that I've never seen anything turn around that fast, but I remember the last time that Clayton Kershaw pitched like that in a playoff series, and it didn't end well. That was incredible yesterday. Absolutely incredible.
When you download the radio.com app, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook, where you can like the 670 The Score page. We've got Jay Zawoski. We've got Rick Camp. We've got the executioner Ray Diaz in the back doing what he does. Yeah, baseball is as if you always need reminders of the disconnect between the regular season and all of the carefully laid plans to squeeze runs that add up to wins, fractions of runs, pitches framed around the strike zone, the micro eventually becoming the macro over the 162, and what you are and what you prepare for and how you set everything up. And then you get into October and things just happen.
You know, every postseason, we try and grab whatever narrative that postseason tried to give us was, right? After the World Series is over, you go and you say, oh, the Royals won with a whole bunch of contact.
Therefore,
you need more contact, Dan. You got to have it. Never mind how they won in the regular season. Not that the Royals were all that different, but they, you know, the White Sox won with small ball in 2005. Well, they had some of the most home runs in the American League that year, too. So there's that. I do appreciate, though, and I think you're absolutely right when you talk about the margins that were tried to win on by the Astros and by the Dodgers. I like when a postseason sets up to give context to a couple of teams that fell outside the playoffs. Because I really do think that with the potential changes to both the Dodgers, maybe the Braves, I'm talking roster-wise, Dodgers front office-wise, managerial-wise, I think it provides some context for what the Cubs have, what they're saying goodbye to, and how they're looking to change too. Because you just watch a hand-picked, no-experience manager make a curious bullpen decision for at least the fourth time in his playoff career. They have not won a World Series. They have been one of, if not the most dominant team in the National League since they started their run. and they can't get there.
So you wouldn't be surprised if they fired him.
Dave Roberts?
Yeah.
No.
You can't be, right?
How could you?
You can't be.
Dave Dombrowski got ousted from the Red Sox front office the year after winning a World Series. Managers have been fired for less. Grady Little, you mentioned it, Grady Little got axed. He left Pedro in too long. These are the things that managers are accountable for, and this is why the trend has been continually pushing toward managers that just do what I say already. Just do what the front office tells you to do.
Do the smarter thing to do.
And then manage the people, and then be the guy. You know, from the moment the last pitch is done to first pitch the next day to the anthem the next day, manage the guys.
But don't let the people stuff infect too much the actual correct decision that needs to be made.
And then use the big colorful binders that we give you, you know, that say, pitch this guy here. And what's this page say? Oh, don't ever bring Clayton Kershaw throwing 89 after his worst season ever out of the bullpen to face the two best hitters in the Nationals lineup. Okay, great. Okay, I won't do that either. It's in the binder. It's clear. It's written. It's in bold. You can't miss it.
This segment is brought to you by Valparaiso University. The satisfaction that comes with living to your full potential is immeasurable. It's a quality of life that Valparaiso University graduates enjoy every day. At Valpo, your full potential receives their total commitment. Visit valpo.edu to request information, apply, or to schedule a visit. That's the context of the managerial hire that's going on with the Cubs right now. And they are, man, I don't know what you can talk about for 8 hours. I don't.
Apparently everything.
I guess. And I wonder how much is formal and how much is casual. The Joe Madden thing, they went to his trailer and they drank beer and wine and sat by the beach and sat on the porch swing.
Yes, that's all they did.
Right? And then I'm sure they talked about things and life. And previously they had run all these guys through a gauntlet of questions and then brought them out through the media to face the harsh glare of the Klieg lights and see how they operated in that. So maybe they're somewhere in between now. I don't know if Theo and Jed have sort of fine-tuned their good cop, bad cop thing. Well, if I let my partner at you, God knows what's going to happen. You're much better off dealing with me. He's crazy, I tell you.
Jed's just pacing in the corner waiting for his turn to take a shot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what you talked to Joe Girardi about for 8 hours. The guy's been doing this forever. So I wonder if some of it was Joe kind of explained, as he has in a lot of other places. He's made it very clear he wants to manage. Maybe Joe's got some things he wants to bring up. You know, it's that part of the interview where your prospective boss looks at you and goes, do you have any questions? And Joe just grabs the whole list of prepared questions that he's got out of the front pocket. Oh, it's so nice of you to ask. Let me page through some of these things because I need to tell you how I'm not the guy that other people would tell you I am.
Okay, while we're on Girardi, I think we should revisit something one of Girardi's former bosses said about him. And it could be that Girardi is taking all hours to tell the Cubs what he isn't as much as what he is.
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Kevin Zipak. The 2019 Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves have won 3 straight division titles and are battling for the Calder Cup. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for season and single game tickets. We are winners. We are the Wolves. Last night in Major League Baseball, the Washington Nationals were winners. They came back to beat the Dodgers 7-3 at Dodger Stadium to take Game 5 of this National League Division Series. Clayton Kershaw gave up back-to-back home runs in the top of the 8th. That made it 3-3. 2 innings later, former Dodger Howie Kendrick hit a grand slam to put it out of reach. The Nationals now move on to face the St. Louis Cardinals. Cards crushed the Braves 13-1 in Game 5 of their series yesterday. Game 1 of the NLCS tomorrow night in St. Louis. In the American League today, we'll find out who meets the Yankees in the ALCS. Astros host the Rays tonight at Minute Maid Park. Game 5 of that series. Also in baseball, Joe Girardi reportedly interviewed for 8 hours yesterday with the Cubs front office for the open managerial position. David Ross set to interview today. NBA last night, Pelicans beat the Bulls 127-125 in preseason action. Zion Williamson, of course, the story of the game, 29 points in just 27 minutes. Tonight at the UC, the Blackhawks will have their home opener when they host the San Jose Sharks. And tonight in football, the undefeated Patriots hosting the New York Football Giants on Thursday Night Football. This update brought to you by Nutrisystem for Men. Lose weight eating the food you love. Now save $50 plus. Get a week of protein-packed shakes free at Nutrisystem.com/radio. Restrictions apply. Call or see website for details. And this update was also brought to you by Fisher Oven Roasted. Never fried, nothing to hide. I'm Kevin Zpac, and you're listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Your home for Bears Mondays. This is 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
David Sampson, the former Marlins executive, is not the best liked guy in baseball. He didn't make a ton of friends, even though he's kind of a likable guy in just the way he comes across when he's talking. He's a good talker. And
yeah, he is too good.
Yeah, he's a little slick.
He is.
He's very, very slick, and he's got a media job now.
When you get into a conversation with him, I would advise you to bring a very large grain of salt.
Correct.
Just carry that with you.
Correct.
Maybe put in a backpack.
So I'm giving you every possible disclaimer I can here, as I want to replay for you what he told Mully and Haw about his experience working with Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi was a really good manager for the Marlins. He ended up getting fired. I was
manager of the year.
Same year. He won manager of the year. I believe he also lost his job.
Yeah, I think that's right. They then sat out a season and then got the Yankees game.
Correct. And he and the front office did not get along. However, that doesn't mean that David Sampson is wrong in describing what Joe Girardi was as Marlins manager.
Joe is an interesting guy in that I don't view him as someone who enjoys working closely with members of the front office. Now, he will say that's only because I didn't want to work closely with you all. I'd be happy to work closely with someone else. But at the end of the day, he views the clubhouse as his clubhouse. The lineup is his lineup. The batting order is his batting order. And that's really not common anymore in the game, where GMs are telling managers who to play, where to play them, how to shift defensively, basically everything, including which players to rest on certain days. There's so much analytics involved. And Theo has earned that right in his mind, and actually has. When you bring a World Series to the Red Sox and Cubs, I'd say you pretty much get to be in charge, and if not, head to Cooperstown. So I don't know how the two of them could ever coexist. I think David Ross is a much better fit because I think he's both better in the clubhouse and better managing up and down. And these days, that is critical for a manager to be able to do.
Okay. Again, think what you want about him and understand the relationship and how difficult it was. It's also possible that Joe Girardi has completely changed his ways. But territoriality of manager is a huge issue. This is mine. Stay away from it. This is mine. Stay away from it. I'm in charge of this. I'm in charge of that. My lineup, my clubhouse, my bullpen, my decisions. It's easy for Girardi to say, I'm not like that anymore. Because if he is like that, even if he represents the new hard acidness or red acidness that they want.
A-C-I-D?
A-S-S-E-D.
Okay.
If it's what they want, you still, people tend to default to the ways of their nature.
I think that's probably true, and I think that's probably some of what got Dave Roberts into trouble this postseason and the last one and the one before that. Even I find the Dodgers so fascinating because when Roberts got hired, it was kind of I won't say it was the first because I'm probably just forgetting an example here or there or somewhere. But one of the groups of first time former player young type managers. Close to the analytic ways, understanding that the front office is going to call a lot of shots for you and understanding that the front office is going to put together a lineup that you kind of can't screw up and a bullpen that's got enough for you in most cases to get you through a tough postseason game, that kind of thing. But the Dodgers you would put Dave Roberts toward the top of the list of managers that do what the front office says, right? I mean, he would be at the top five, that guy. Even he got it wrong. He spent an entire season doing what the front office, doing what Andrew Friedman told him to do, and he brings Clayton Kershaw back out after he got Adam Eaton.
And while we're talking about this, while we're talking about new kinds of managers and analytics and extensions of the front office, Gabe Kapler has just been fired by the Phillies.
Oh, just now. Because we were just reading during Kevin Zpac's update, we were just reading that we're going to have a decision about the Phillies, that something's going to happen here with Gabe Kapler.
They've made a decision, and they are going to look for a manager now. And now you wonder, will Joe Maddon, is this why he hasn't become the Angels manager yet because of the Pennsylvania ties? Because the Hazleton native might have an opportunity to stay in the National League and have a little more activity as a manager, as a National League manager, the league with which he's more comfortable and familiar at the moment.
If I had to make a bet, it would be that Joe Maddon just made more money to go coach the Angels.
Could be.
I think that's just my feeling, but some of that could just be a sentimentality that I've got toward Joe and also really wanting him to manage both Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani at the same time, because that'd just be fun. You know, to see what he comes up with.
Yeah, but also Joe Maddon in the Eastern time zone is bigger national footprint, certainly
Absolutely.
More a part of our baseball lives.
Nobody's going to give a damn if Joe's managing the Angels except for postseason baseball if and when they get there. That's you're absolutely right about that. They're like three extra Sunday night games because Joe Madden's probably, you know, has a Q rating maybe a little bit higher than Mike Trout's in this game, which is weird.
This is a fascinating baseball offseason and continuation of the actual baseball season. Everything that's going on right now, looking at the larger forces that are in play, you know, a little bit later on in the show, too, I want to get to some of the baseball prospectus work that's being done. The postseason baseball is different.
Oh, yeah, we've changed the game. We've changed the game on everybody once again.
I don't know if it's random. If something happened to the slippery post 2015 All-Star break baseball, but they've been measuring things because we've got all the data in real time now and the ball is not responding the same way.
So with the Dodgers bounced and the Phillies having fired Gabe Kapler, I think there's a pretty honest question about timing that the Cubs are going to have to answer about when they want their manager hired and how quickly they can move. But when we come back to the Pope had a meltdown while watching the Braves meltdown, and it is glorious. You'll hear it when we come back. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Called Wong, infield in. Wong lines one into left center field. That's down. That's going to go to the wall. Two more runs are going to score. And Colton Wong makes it 9-0.
Well, that kind of happened, and then it happened, and it kept happening. And next thing you know, you're thinking, you know, maybe we should save our ace pitcher.
I would have let him go one time through.
He's warmed up.
Yeah, you don't want to dry
like
him.
Make like a side day.
Yeah, side session kind of thing, 50-ish pitches, something like that. I would have let him go one time through. I mean, I kind of get the other side of the argument that you have an opportunity to end this. You must win in order to play again. And it's a win or stop playing kind of game. I would have been a little more risky with it. I would have taken him out of that ball game and maybe gotten him back earlier for that next series. I think that's how I would have played it.
Well, we know that one person was watching it all unfold in real time, and as things got crazy, this was the reaction of the sports pope, Mike Francesa.
I don't remember ever seeing this before. It is 9-0. I've been watching baseball forever. I don't think I've ever seen a playoff game where one team hit a team with a 9 spot in the top of the first. 9-0. This game is over. Bring me the play-by-play. I want to go through it on the air about what they did in this inning. 9-0. Has there ever been a deciding playoff game that opened up 9-0 in the first inning? There may have been. I can't remember. There might have been sometime in our life or in the history of baseball. But can you imagine? This is a deciding game, and the Braves have now got their third pitcher up in the first inning. How about this? You got all excited today to go to the building. You get to Atlanta. You just got in this seat right now. You got in a little traffic. You walk in, and you hear deathly silence. And you're like, what's going on? Hey, buddy, ready? Let's go. Hey, Brave Baseball, here we go. It's 9-0. What? It's 9-0. 9-0. You can see the Cardinal bench can't believe most runs scored in first inning in postseason history. There it is. So I just answered my own question. There we go. most runs ever scored in the first inning in the history of the postseason, and the inning is not over yet. Strikeout, gets away. Oh, my God. Gets away, and he beats it. Oh, my God. Ah! Two outs, runner on third. Struck out the batter. The catcher went back for the ball. It got behind him. He fell down, and the guy beat it out. 10-0.
It's so rare to hear him laugh.
That's great.
It's very rare to hear Mike Francis actually with a real laugh.
That's really good. That's really good. Yep. He lost it during a Mets game that was on while his show was going on earlier in the season. But that was, you know, you're right. That was like genuine.
He was entertained. Kind
of, yeah, it was joy.
Yeah,
he was
actually having fun.
That's the first time he's liked watching a sporting event in probably years.
Or probably liked anything.
It's probably that he's watched
buddy.
Oh, good for him. That's great. That's some fantastic
stuff.
Hey,
buddy. Oh, my God. Ah!
That's just fantastic. Listen, I like that the playoffs have at least kind of given you a little bit of context for a Cubs managerial search. And I really do think that whether it's going to be a Dodgers decision to let go of Dave Roberts, but I'm only theorizing. I mean, they could just sign everybody back up to a kumbaya and say we'll run it back again and try winning 106 games next season because that seems to work out pretty well. The math, it's in our favor. But now you've got a handful of jobs out there with the news this morning that the Phillies have let go of Gabe Kapler. That's a Joe Madden-type spot. It's a team that wants to win now.
Look at these openings. They're the Padres is an interesting gig with a bunch of really talented young players there. There are all sorts of, and they, like you say, Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani.
Please. Come on. Everybody, any manager would love those. Now, you look at the rest of the lineup and whatever that state of the pitching is for the Angels, and you kind of go, ooh, boy, that's kind of a tough thing to go. And in the AL West, too, with the Astros there. Still, that's a good job. And he's got ties to that. Joe Madden has ties to that organization going back, I don't know, what is it, 3 decades, something like that. But there's a handful of jobs out there, the Mets, too, that are really interesting. Not to say anything about that. I mean, the Cubs are an interesting gig. It's just that given the local reporting around it, given what everybody's said and talked about and kind of hinted at, David Ross is the front runner for that job.
Well, all the news has been enough to bring Schmutzy out today. He's in Park Ridge. He's on the score. What's up, man?
How are you, fellas?
Good.
What's up?
I heard you talking before about the territoriality of major league managers and how they want to be in charge of where guys play and where they bat and who plays and who doesn't play versus the front office spending all this money on research and metrics and you know, just trying to direct a manager on how to manage on a daily basis. And if there's anybody out there who hates this both-siderism stuff that's going around these days, it's me. But I will engage in that right now. If you take Theo, for example, it's perfectly understandable that he wants somebody that's going to put into play on the field that stuff that he's digging up with all of this research. And a manager would be crazy not to listen if they present something that says, look, we did all of the number crunching and we had our forensic accountants look into this. And this many times out of this many times, this happens. Of course, I'm going to do it. But Connor, you just mentioned this handful of jobs that's open right now in MLB. It's the manager that gets fired, whether the metrics are, you know, applied in the field or whether the guy, and I'm not saying Girardi should be the guy. I'm no Girardi fan, but I understand his position too. If I take your advice and I play the team the way you tell me to play the team and they lose, I'm the guy that gets fired. So it's going to have to be some sort of a meeting in the middle of, you know, Theo finds a guy that maybe it is David Ross. Yeah, I'll take your advice, but the final say has got to be mine when it comes time to trot him out there. Talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, man. And that gets back to Dave Roberts, too, in that unless we heard the conversations, there exists a world in which he had talked this over with Andrew Friedman, and they said, look, given the situation and this and this and this and this, we're going to Kershaw. We're making an assumption here.
I would be shocked if staying with Kershaw was also part of the going to Kershaw.
Different decisions.
Because he got eaten.
Correct.
Which, oh, too bad. Oh, what a shame. Adam Eaton struck out. It's just too bad. But then you go back out there, and you're facing Soto and Rendon. Or sorry, it was Rendon and then Soto, right? Yeah, Rendon and then Soto.
By the way, is Soto still just 20?
I think, you know what? I think he is now the ripe old age of 21.
What a magnificent slab of baseball specimen he is.
Still 20 till the end of the month. Still,
he's 20!
Till the end of the month, that's right.
But he's 20! Get used to that.
He once Soto put up a 142 OPS plus in his age 19 season, which I think, oh gosh, what was it? Mel Ott, I think, the other best age 19 season, right?
Somehow all roads lead to Vada Pinson.
It's Right. But then followed it up with a 138 OPS plus in his age 20 season for the Washington Nationals. While playing, check this. This is the other part that's pretty great about it. While playing nearly 40 more games. He played 150 this year, only 116 last season. I mean, that's your, my God.
The 815 asks, other job openings aside, would the Angels have Renteria'd Brad Ausmus if they didn't already have a very likely deal with Madden?
No, I think we talked about this the moment Ausmus was fired. He got Renteria'd. I assume that's going to be.
You know, I know we had this deal, but I really like the Phillies job.
Nothing calls like home, man. Philly works like that for Joe, I would imagine. I mean, he talks about that area. He does work there. He does charity
stuff
there. His elderly
mother is there.
No doubt about it. He's got
a
family.
That's the Lou Piniella rule, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Lou wants to go home.
But the Angels, how many more managerial jobs will Joe Madden get after the next one he takes?
That's it, probably, right? This is it?
Probably.
This is the John Fox deal?
I would imagine, except I think Joe's probably going to work a little harder than John Fox did, but still.
Damning with faint praise.
I'm just
and
saying.
And doesn't have a pet monkey.
We don't know that. That's true. I could see Joe adopting a monkey of some kind.
I will tell you this.
He's going to adopt the rally monkey.
No,
he goes to L.A.
I'm confident to say that there's no way that Joe Madden secretly had or has a pet monkey.
We would have heard about it.
We would have heard about it. There would have
been box of questions would have gotten
books
to
would
it.
Have been written about it. It would be given a paintbrush to create art for charity. Trust me.
It would have been on a shirt.
Yes, we would have known more about it than we cared to have known.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're right. That's going to be his last job.
I would think so. So the Phillies gig and the Angels gig both being open gives him just a whole bunch of leverage, doesn't it?
Well, exciting things going on in the world of baseball. We're continuing to track all the headlines as they cross into our timelines. We're going to let you know, obviously, Gabe Kapler, the latest news let go by the Phillies, creating that opening that we are discussing. Football talk coming up with Matt Miller. He knows college. He knows pros. He knows draft possibilities. And maybe he can fix the Bears. He's coming up next. Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.